the second year when his father went to settle up with Mr. Charlie. That's what they, you know, you call all these bosses. I don't know that that was really his name. But, and Mr. Charlie said, well, preacher, you've got a fine family. You work hard and all that. And the next, you only owe me $500. And Wally's father said, wait a minute. According to my calculations, you owe me $500. And Mr. Charlie said, wait a minute. I don't have niggers figuring after me. And he put them off the plantation. Of course, Wally said the kids were delighted because they wanted to go back to Little Rock anyway. But then the next time they did a venture, they worked on a plantation owned by a black man. And he said it was the same thing. He didn't have any whites on his, but except that you could call him by his first name. But he was trying to get everything he could out of everybody. No different. No different. And that's something I believe, and it's discouraging. It really is discouraging, but people are people. Everybody seems to want to just wring everything they can out of people, and all of us do. This is the society. It's just like these. But I don't know. I've heard some figures where 1% of the population in the United States makes 30 times as much as a regular worker. And to say a worker is that's like an epithet. What is the workers are the ones who keep the world going. So what? I don't really quite understand that, but that's the way it seems to be. But anyway, we did go there and live there for 3.5 years. We went in 70 and left in 74. We learned to love it. We were in northern New Mexico, not so far, 6,800 feet. You know, see, we always liked New England, but we thought, oh, we're going to Homestead. We need to be in a warm place. Ha, ha, ha. The climate, in the sense, was somewhat the same in a different way. It could be warm, you know, it would get very warm, but it was always cool at night. We couldn't even get ripe tomatoes. We had to pick them green because they wouldn't get ripe. But they ripened all right after we picked them. And that's where I learned to can and dry things. And so we wanted to stay, but we found we didn't have enough money to buy land. We thought we would there, and it was just too expensive. So that's how we ended up in New England. We met somebody who came through who ended up himself at Woolman Hill when there was an alternative school there. And they, you know, they did farming, I mean, big gardening and canning, and they had two cows and so forth. And Randy Keeler wrote to us and said, our farmer is leaving, would you like to do this? Because when we met him, we said if we couldn't find anything within the next few months, we were going to come back east. And we said, no, we don't want to be a farmer, even if we don't get paid. I mean, we want a homestead. And we ended up being able to do that. We came here in 74, took down a house. I took out millions of nails, I think. We did all our work by hand, but we didn't know anybody but Randy Keeler when we came here, and we got to know so many people, and so many people helped us, and some of them came to help. So we finally even put an electric line over to Trap Rock so that people who had, you know, skill saws and all that sort of thing could work. And our house, we lived pretty much the same. I lived pretty much the same as we did. Well, I don't know how you can compare that. But in New Mexico, we had an outhouse. We had a designer outhouse because of an architect friend of ours visited us and designed the outhouse. We lived in an adobe that had 18-inch thick walls. Our landlady lived down about a quarter of a mile down the road from us.